nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Tell yourself, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. Anytime you're in a situation that's upsetting you or disturbing you, either with your eyes open or your eyes closed, tell yourself, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. You might need to say it to yourself really slow if you are upset about something. You may need to go, there is nothing. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you are feeling upset, if you are feeling disturbed about something, if you're worrying about something, you are trusting in your strength. If you are afraid right now, you are trusting in your strength, not the strength of the Creator. If you're feeling afraid or upset about something right now, you're trusting in your strength. And if there's some area of your life that you feel safe, if there's some area in your life that you are not afraid, if there's some area in your life that you feel safe, that's the area where you have remembered God. That's the area where you're letting the truth operate. So the area of your life that you have the fear in is the area of your life that you're trying to do it all by yourself. And the areas of your life that you do not have fear in, those are the areas that you are not doing it by yourself. Where you let the strength of God, the strength of love into your awareness. And when you do that, there is indeed nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. Okay. We're going to be on page 84. We're going to be on page 84 in the text. And I'm going to read paragraph 5. And remember, if you're new to the course, just remember you don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. Some of it you may actively resist and find hard to believe, but if you use it, it'll work. The guiltless mind cannot suffer. Being sane, the mind heals the body because the mind is healed. The mind heals the body because the mind is healed. The sane mind cannot conceive of illness because the sane mind cannot conceive of attacking anyone or anything. I said before that illness is a form of magic. It might be better to say that illness is a form of magical solution. The ego, which is the mind that believes it's guilty, believes that by punishing itself, it can mitigate the punishment of God. Yet even in this, the mind that feels guilty and afraid is arrogant. Because the mind that's guilty and afraid attributes to God a punishing intent, and then takes this intent as its own prerogative. The fearful, guilty mind, the ego, the separate mind, the ego, the one that thinks it's a body, the ego tries to usurp all the functions of God as the fearful mind perceives the functions of God. Because the fearful mind recognizes that only total allegiance can be trusted. Okay, one of the main reasons why the Course in Miracles puts such an emphasis on recognizing that we're innocent is that thought is creative, and whatever you think, you attract to yourself. So if you have guilty thoughts and angry thoughts and upset thoughts and attacked thoughts, then those thoughts produce those things in your life. So all of the suffering in your life comes from the guilt in your mind. Everybody clear where all your suffering comes from now? Any questions about that? Okay, any questions about that? All of the suffering that you go through comes from the guilt and fear and anger and upset and separation in your mind. The form it takes in the world is what you end up dealing with. So I deal with the illness that my guilt created. I deal with the lack my guilt created. I deal with the anger, which takes the form of the physical situations that I go through that cause me suffering. We're used to dealing at the effect level, so we're always trying to get the job that we just lost, or trying to fix the relationship that's messed up, or go to the doctor for the sickness. And all of these things are good, as they represent your symbolic willingness to be healed. So it's good to do it. As a matter of fact, if you try to heal yourself and you don't succeed, then it's best for you to temporarily rely on outside healing methods and devices. Because you believe in what's outside of yourself more than you believe in what's inside of yourself. So you need to go where your belief is located. If you believe the doctor can heal you, you need to go to a doctor. If you say, I'm this unlimited being, so I'm going to heal myself mentally, and 2 days later you're still hurting, then you don't know how to heal yourself mentally. So you need to do whatever is necessary on the outer to get rid of the pain, because the pain is drawing your attention to your body all the time. And so your pain is making you think you are a body all the time and not spirit. So that sentence that I read first will make sense now, because it says, well, the guiltless mind can't suffer. So the exact opposite happens when you recognize your innocence. You don't attract suffering. You just happen to be the one that didn't get laid off, and you just happen to be the one that actually has the relationship that you're actually happy with. You actually be the one that has the life that your perception of it brings you joy. You actually be the one that's walking around having a good time, and it's your own innocent mind that's producing it. So anybody that teaches you that you're sinful, anybody that teaches you that you're guilty, they're helping to reinforce thoughts of punishment on yourself, and you will attract them, and you will go through the pain of a guilty mind. When you reinforce that your guiltless mind cannot suffer, and that you were born in innocence, and that you were created by love, then you certainly don't believe you deserve to be punished and attacked, and therefore you don't attract things to you that hurt you. That's how it works. So the issue becomes, how can I go from my guilty, fearful mind to my innocent, sinless mind? Is that a good question? Okay, the first thing you have to do is resign as your own teacher. And the second thing you have to do is stop comparing yourself to anything or anybody else. And realize that there's a part of you that has the power to take you to your innocent mind called the Holy Spirit, which is really your own mind that's healed. And it will take you to your sinless mind. But the person sitting in the chair can't take you. The person sitting in the chair would just be the one that reminds you of the past or to tell you to be concerned about the future. Now, that's what the you that's sitting in the chair going to do. It's probably doing it right now. It's probably thinking about something in the past or maybe even be concentrating on something you might be doing later on today. So the you that's in the chair isn't the you that takes you back to your guiltlessness. The Holy Spirit does that. That's the part of you that knows you're innocent. So the part of you that knows you're innocent will take you back to your innocence. Your innocence will no longer create any kind of pain for you. And you'll look like you're living a charmed life, even though you're right in the middle of everybody. Your happiness is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. One of my saviors does weddings, and she was telling me that one of the most interesting things about doing weddings is hearing the vows. Like, people make vows like, I vow to make you happy. And they really, sincerely, from the bottom of their heart, really believes that's possible. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted, my heart just opens with compassion for them, because they're going to be on a painful road. You can't make anybody else happy. You can be yourself and let yourself do whatever it's going to do. And for some people, yourself will bring them joy. And for some people, yourself will bring them pain. And not because you're intending to bring them pain. They'll go through pain because of the way they're interpreting you. So you're not responsible for somebody else's misperception of your beauty. All right. So I'm going to take this paragraph. I don't care if I don't go a little further than this one paragraph all hour. Because one truth will lead you to all truths. It's not about how many can you accumulate. The reason why there's so many is because Spirit just hoping just one of them might get to you. It's like, a lot of it isn't necessary because we need a lot. You know? Because we're so insane. We're the little God children that's on the little red bus. So watch how the Course in Miracles reads. It says, the guiltless mind cannot suffer, right? And then in the very next sentence it says, being sane, which means the guiltless mind is a sane mind. So if you want to deal with a sane person, you need to be dealing with a person that's not feeling guilty about what they're doing with their life. And they don't feel guilty about how they treat people. And they don't feel guilty about who they are. That's the person that's sane. He says, now the minute that you are not feeling guilty, you are sane, and so your mind, which is now sane, okay, heals the body. That's how healing happens. And the mind heals the body because the mind is healed. Now let's work back. Why is the mind healed? Because it's sane, until you read the course backwards and forwards. I used to do classes where I read it backwards. And then, being sane, the guiltless mind cannot suffer. Yes, but, 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 I see that but, yes, but, I heard that but, yeah, I heard you say it but. Did that pretty much get it for everybody? Okay, I'm going to go on. Then it says, the sane man cannot conceive of illness. The sane man can't conceive of suffering, can't conceive of being hurt, can't conceive of lack, can't conceive of loneliness, can't conceive of depression, cannot conceive of unhappiness. So what is the course doing? It's saying, let me tell you how the sane man operates. Let me introduce the sane man. While at the same time, make you aware that you don't have one. Because the key to recognizing that you're not tuned into your sane mind is that the once you realize you're acting out of ignorance and unawareness and guilt, then you'll stop being so hard on yourself
because you realize that every painful thing that you've ever done and you've ever experienced has been because you just didn't know. Not that you were bad. And that's where innocence comes from, honesty. But the more you say you are sane, but you're doing all this crazy stuff, you feel guilty. Because anybody would feel guilty about doing stuff to hurt themselves and others that they know better. Mm-hmm. So, I love how it says that conceive of this sane mind can't conceive of attacking anyone or anything. You know why? Because if you got a sane mind and you know the laws of the universe, then you know that if you attack somebody, it's going to create illness and sickness and pain for you. So you can't even conceive of hurting somebody because you know it's going to hurt you. That's what a sane man thinks. A sane man is trapped in the truth. A sane man is trapped in love. It's just like, I'm trapped in peace because I know if I attack your butt, I'm just going to be creating more attack for myself, so I'm trapped in the peace. The insane mind, it goes out and it attacks you, it attacks you, it judges you, it condemns you, it talks about you, it don't appreciate you, sad at you, mad at you, depressed about you, wants you to be different, wants you. And then it wonders why it has a hellacious day. Mm. And it'll be the first man telling you, honey, I'm having the worst time in the world, but I'm so mad at the people at work, I don't know what to do. So, he says, I said before, that illness is a form of magic. So the Course says that you could say that when you are ill, which means in a lack of peace, illness doesn't, I'm not just talking about physical stuff. When you're in a lack of peace, that's illness. He says, that's really a form of a magical solution. If I feel guilty, I believe I've done something wrong. If I've done something wrong, I deserve to be punished. So my illness and my suffering is a solution. It gives me the punishment I think I deserve. So I've hurt so much that I think I deserve to be happy one day. So one day my suffering will become so intense that I go, I've had enough of this, I deserve to be happy. So when someone gives you something wonderful, you will accept it because you believe you've suffered enough to deserve it. So punishing yourself is a preparation for receiving for the insane man. And when I sacrifice and suffer enough, then I deserve something good. When I sacrifice and suffer enough, then I deserve. So the suffering that you're going through is a perverted way to feel like you deserve to receive. And by perverted, I mean your purpose is good. You want to feel like you deserve to receive, but you think by suffering and sacrifice is how you pay for your pleasures. It's how the insane mind works. So the Course teaches you the difference between your sane mind and your insane mind so you can stop doing what your insane mind says and stop suffering. So you see how it's a form of a magical solution? I've hurt myself so much that I paid my debt. I've suffered so much that I paid, and now I deserve to be happy. This is the way the guilty, fearful mind operates. Whether I'm talking about you or not, you know. But don't forget, you got both. The innocent mind just hasn't been getting much press. So you can take, the Course says, read me slowly. That's why I'm taking it slow. Okay. The ego, is everybody clear about what I mean by the ego? The ego is nothing but the part of the mind that believes it's separate. So the ego is the fear and the guilt and the anger in the mind. It's the separate self. So when it says ego, I like to say the fearful mind. The fearful mind. It'll make more sense, don't you think? Okay. The fearful mind Now, everybody that has a fearful mind, would you please raise your hand if you know a part of your mind has fear in it? And even if you don't raise your hand, we know it's true for you too. Okay. All right. You just almost joined everybody and almost killed you. Okay. The fearful mind believes that by punishing itself, the guilty person believes that by punishing themselves, they'll mitigate the punishment of God. If I punish myself before the universe punishes me, there's no need for the universe to punish me. If I give myself the spanking that my mama was going to give me when she got home, maybe my mama won't spank me because I'm already in pain, so she'll have mercy on me. So therefore, a person that's full of fear and insecurity and unhappiness is a person that will punish themselves in order to mitigate the punishment of God, the punishment of love. Because to be unhappy, you must have done something wrong. Something must be wrong with you. If the things don't go right except every now and then, something must be wrong with you. So I got to punish myself because I think I'm guilty. So I know when I did something wrong, my mama punished me. The slate was clean. When I grew up, when my mama gave me my spanking for what I did, me and my mama was cool. So when you get grown, you don't have a mama to spank you, so you get a love. And sometimes you really like the love of spanking. And sometimes you call it the hell you're going through with them, but that's really the hell you get in yourself because you feel guilty, so you set up the relationship to punish you so that you can finally pay the price and you can be free and innocent again. So the person that believes in guilt sets up punishment situations in order to relieve themselves of the guilt. Innocent people don't do that. So still, the guilty people have a really loving purpose. They still want to be innocent again. But they think that by punishing themselves, that's how they're going to get it, because that's what we were taught. So please sign this if you ever had a chance to, because it's going to be important for me later to get in touch with you over the next 3 or 4 months as things change in my life. So the fearful mind believes that by punishing itself, it can mitigate the punishment of God, which is the Creator. So this is what Coase, without paraphrasing, calls the royal screw up. Okay, the royal screw up is the fearful guilty mind attributes to God a punishing intent. So I'm feeling guilty, so I say, God's going to get me, the universe is going to get me, something's going to get me. Because you know that's how we feel when we really feel guilty. We feel like something's going to happen to us. So the Course is saying, well, what is that something you think is going to happen to you? And who do you think that something that's going to happen to you for being so guilty and feeling so bad is going to come from? Well, I think what created me, the universe, life, God, something's going to get me because what I did was just wrong. So something's going to get me. So I attribute to God a punishing intent, and I say God is going to get me. And then I turn around and make that intent my own prerogative, and so I punish myself. So I do it before God can. I say God's going to punish me, and then I punish me before God punishes me. So I make up the lie that the universe will punish me, and I make up the lie that God will punish me, and then I turn around and punish myself first. Because I think if I punish myself first, that'll keep the universe from really giving it to me. Because see how I'm suffering already? So, what do y'all think about that? Feedback time.
I think that's absolutely true.
Is there anybody else that, just to show me, by show of hands, tell me they feel like what they just heard was absolutely true?
Oh, yeah.
And how many feel like what you just heard was absolutely untrue? Because you're innocent either way you go. Okay.
Everybody sees that. Everybody's okay with that. Everybody, no problem. You got that? Mm-hmm.
And it's, if we were indoctrinating in that as small children,
yes,
it's just unconscious. I mean, we just do it automatically.
Did you hear what she said? Mm-hmm. If you're indoctrinated in the concept of guilt and sin when mm-hmm. you're a child, then you begin, you unconsciously have this belief in punishment. And you don't even know it, and you attract stuff to you, and you don't even know why, even if you're a child. Because, I mean, I grew up Southern Baptist. And I was told, right off the bat, I was born in sin. And I was also told that I was going to go to hell for most of my thoughts. I knew I was doomed. And what was the other big one? Going to hell. Oh, yeah, and God kicked much butt. You know, God wiped out everybody but two people, Noah and his wife.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's what I call a trigger.
It was a long-term plan, though. Planned it.
You know, and I was the kind of kid that I would go, that doesn't make any sense to me. And my elders would say, don't question the Bible. They would shut me up, right? Like I would sit there and they would go, Adam and Eve was the first man and the first woman, and they had two children, and then later on they said the two children married somebody. And I went, well, where did these people that they married come from? And they were the first people. And they said, you don't question it. So I can't. So and then talking to my Jewish friends, they just get plain generic guilt.
Yes,
absolutely. They don't be fucked up from God. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. And then my God bless my Catholic friends. They got so many different descriptions of sin, I lost track. It's the venial this sin, and it's this kind of sin, and it's the other. And then we wonder why we so screwed up.
That's what confession's for.
but there are always really cool things you can do, and all those things that seems easier than what we're being asked to do today. Like, for instance, even if I was in that thought system of being a Baptist, all I had to say was claim Jesus Christ as my Savior, and everything's cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool when you think about it. So I did that just to hedge my bet. You know what I'm saying? Just in case I get them teaching all this stuff.
That still pops up in the relationships and the people and the whole.
I'm convinced that the Course in Miracles was created to free people from religious and God guilt.
Yeah.
That most people miss that's really what it's about. Because in teaching this 30 years, I constantly attract people who can't stand the word God in Christ in religious terms, but they're drawn to a book that's written in Christian terminology. And they don't catch it. Must be something interesting about that. And then people say they could come to the class and they have a hard time with the picture of Jesus. Why? Picture ain't doing nothing. So it's really you giving that picture all the meaning that it has for you, and you're making yourself mad about the picture because of what you learned and what you went through as a child. That you're getting to prove right there that there's some guilt and fear around that. And so therefore when I'm in the presence of that picture, I can't give myself no peace, and that's the punishment. So when I went through all of that, then I started to call God all kinds of other kinds of names. It became the divine mind, the infinite ears, the spirit, the light, the anything but God. And I sure wasn't going to say Jesus, and I sure wasn't going to say Christ, because I had become much too enlightened to be limited to those concepts. Mm-hmm. Instead of admitting to myself, I had issues mm-hmm. around those concepts. And it's okay. You can keep that issue as long as you want, but that's not the point of this talk today. It's not about getting you to like Christian terminology. It's getting you to realize that any suffering you're going through is coming from the unconscious guilt in your own mind that can only be healed by recognizing that you're innocent and to be recognize you're innocent, you have to be reminded that you're innocent, and then everything that's in your mind that blocks you from being aware of your innocence has to be removed, and that cannot be done by you, because you're the one who made up the guilt.
Yes.
So you can't free yourself, and that's why the Course brings in the Holy Spirit, which is nothing but your sane mind, the part of you that knows you are okay, so he can teach you that all that stuff that you learned that you weren't okay, however you learn that, is a bunch of bull, and it doesn't relate to who you really are. And as soon as you let that idea go, then the suffering that you go through that is caused by that idea will begin to dissipate from your life, and that's how healing happens. When the mind is sane, then that heals the body. And that's easier than anything else you're going to tell me that works. Okay, you had your hand up first.
Okay, if I'm understanding this right,
mm-hmm.
the Course of Miracles is to get to a peaceful, sane mind.
Exactly.
Is that the goal?
That's the goal.
And if I bring my Christianity to this,
mm-hmm.
and if suffering is a state of mind,
ultimately, yeah.
Okay. Speak to how we have the sacrificial lamb. Did Jesus bring that on to himself? Or how did that happen there?
Well, from a Course in Miracles perspective, the lamb is a very powerful symbol. That the lamb is actually the symbol of innocence. And so and the lion is the symbol of strength. So bringing the lion and the lamb together is bringing innocence and strength together, because strength and innocence are the same thing.
So there still can be suffering in peace.
And you choose for peace usually out of your suffering. In my experience, I see very few people make any kind of real progress in spiritual stuff until their back is up against the wall. It's like if somebody give us one little inch to screw around in, we don't take it. We do not jump up and go, today I need to be a more forgiving person, and go out there and do it. You know that's not what we do. We have some kind of crap come down that's so intense that we go, I had enough. I got to make a change right now. And the Course is saying, that's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not necessary to suffer in order to make a conscious choice for peace. You just have to say, I'm going to make a conscious choice for peace. I'm going to learn from somebody else's experience. I don't have to go through the same thing that you go through in order for me to recognize it applies to me. If I'm standing next to you, and you put your hand on the hot stove, and I watch you get your flesh burn off your hand, I bet you I'm not sticking my hand on that hot stove, because I'm saying me and you different. You see?
So now tie that into the sacrificial lamb.
The sacrificial lamb, in terms of traditional, what I perceive of traditional belief, is one of the errors that's there. That the sacrificial lamb, from my perspective, is a misperception, because truth doesn't require sacrifice. We believe in sacrifice.
Right.
So we turn around and we sacrifice because we've been taught that sacrifice is love. So the more you love somebody, the more you're going to sacrifice for them. And so the sacrificial lamb, they saw Jesus as the sacrificial lamb because it looked like he was sacrificed in order to bring about a certain teaching. It looked like the Son of God came here, was nice to a whole lot of people, and they put it to him. Just like we go through. I come here, and I can tell you some people in my life I've been really nice to, and they crucified me. Same story. The exact same story. You know, but when I read the Bible, that, you know, Jesus continually said he was going to do what he did. He said it. I came here to be an example. He didn't hide it. He said it. Then he resurrected. I'm sorry. Somebody who lives after they die didn't die.
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't die for my sins because it happened before I was born.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not taking the blame for something that happened 2,000 years before I was born. I have enough taking responsibility for what I did yesterday. So, to me, the Christianity that the Course is talking about is a Christianity that's right. based on love and based on innocence.
Right.
So here becomes the real issue that you have to cross one day if you come from a biblical background. You have to get to that point that you have to stop. If you, you have to have courage. That's the easiest way I can put it. If your belief system is different from what your parents and your friends and everybody else believe, but you know is right for you, then you got to have the courage in your convictions, and you got to, you got to live your conviction, and you got, and you have to not have to need their agreement, and you have to make it okay to differ in what you think from what they think. So that's why I would tell people there are some things I read in the Bible that I resonate to that feel right to my spirit and my soul, and I go with that. And there are some things in the Bible that I felt was total distortions and misperceptions of what was taught. And I don't care if anybody else believes that or not. I don't care if anybody else agrees with me. Because I could never be free while I need everybody's agreement. You'll never be free while you need everybody's agreement. You'll never be free while you need everybody's agreement. You won't. You won't.
Yes.
And what's so cool is a sane mind would never try to control anybody else because there is nobody else to try to control. It's enough me being responsible for my own healing than to try to be in a position like I'm going to be in some kind of a leader that will try to steer other people how they should be doing. It's like, no, I'm looking for mighty companions who want to go to the same place I'm going. That's why I do these classes. I'm not doing these classes to lead anybody. Because you'll turn on me.
That's true.
You know it, you know it, you know it, you know it. The leader gets crucified. I've been around long enough to know the leader gets crucified. I'd be insane to want to lead, especially lead some people who didn't know if they loved me and trusted me. It's hard enough to do this relationship stuff with folks you think you love. You think I'm a joint in relationship with a bunch of people that they're suspicious? You never have to worry about me trying to take over nothing. I love the ultimate freedom of flying solo. So the sacrificial lamb can be looked at in a very loving, positive way. What looked to be a sacrificial lamb, it looks like we sacrifice our innocence all the time. It looks like we give up our innocence about things that we shouldn't be giving our innocence up about, making ourselves feel guilty about stuff that really we didn't do. You didn't do anything wrong just because you didn't want to do what somebody else wanted you to do.
I grew up Methodist, fundamentalist, Ohio. The starting point for them was always sin.
Sin, yeah.
The starting point for me now is innocence.
That's right.
And it's only when I get these stupid ideas that I'm not innocent that anything can hurt me. I'm innocent. I was born innocent. I remain innocent. I will always be innocent. I can't do anything that is not innocent.
That's right. Now.
Period.
Now, that's true about everybody in this room. The challenge is we have various degrees of being aware of that fact. Some people are not aware. Some people, what I'm saying, is almost frightening to them. They feel a little uneasy. Some people, like they love it, what I'm saying. Depending on how comfortable they feel with that idea. Because the only thing I've said is that you deserve to have a life that you don't suffer in. That's it. That's all I've said the whole day. And if the suffering you're going through is coming from the misperceptions and things that you've learned that's not true about you. And then when you feel guilty, you punish yourself because you've been taught as part of a system of punishment that when you get punished for doing something wrong, then you're okay again. So unconsciously we draw pain to ourselves as a form of punishment. And the Course is saying to us that it's arrogant. And I went, what?
He says, yeah, it's arrogant. First, you're going to attribute to your creator that your creator, for some reason, would try to hurt you or punish you instead of correct you and love you. And then you, after you put that on the creator, you turn around and then you do it first. So you're really trying to usurp all the functions of the creator. You're trying to do everything on your own, Earl, without asking, without trusting, making up stuff about your creator, and then acting like your creator is that way because you made it up to be that way. Then doing to yourself what you think your creator would do to you. So that you can punish yourself first, and maybe that'll mitigate the creator's punishment because you've suffered so much, there's no reason to. It's like almost like in the jail stuff when they say, you know, we're going to let him do time certain. You know, I've already suffered because I did it to myself, so you don't have to do it to me. Universe. Love. See, there's a part of you that believes that you've got to be totally committed to not believing in your innocence. That you can't ever believe that you're as good as I'm saying you are and as beautiful as I'm saying you are. It holds everything that you think you've ever done against you, and it tries to remind you of all the reasons why what I'm saying can't be true. That is the ego. And that is not you.
That's the lie.
That's the lie. What the Course is saying is you are lying to yourself and you're hurting because you're lying to yourself. And stop blaming other people. You just lying to yourself. And stop. Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? That's the issue right now. Is do you want to be right? In that case, you're going to try to justify guilt and anger. Or do you want to be happy, which means you want to hear about your innocence and have it reinforced and the fact that you deserve love and have it being reinforced? That's the two choices. Mm-hmm.
Or justify that God, the all-powerful and all-knowing, came to our level of thinking that we needed to suffer to be free of guilt and be love.
Right.
So he took his only son and showed the ultimate suffering.
And also,
in our own language.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. All I'm saying is, tack on the resurrection. Tack on the resurrection. Tack on the resurrection. I'm not saying you're not doing that, but I always go, why are you leaving out the resurrection? Everybody talks about the crucifixion. Everywhere you go, it's somebody hanging up there on the cross like that. How you gonna feel innocent if somebody looking like this? Come on, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. And you got to be willing to tell yourself that's crazy. You got to have the guts to tell yourself that's crazy. And that isn't true. And that isn't what's real. And you can't be the only ones that feel that way. And I'm not interested in the ones who don't want to feel this way. I want to join with the ones who want to know their innocence. I don't want to change the people who believe otherwise. But I also saw the resurrection. And the resurrection was, I didn't die. You can't destroy the truth. You can't destroy love. You can't destroy a child of God. That is the message of Jesus Christ. Who cannot be destroyed? Who you really are cannot be destroyed. Who you really are. Look, I came in just like you. I called me brother about a million times. I kept saying, our father. I'm trying to let you know what kind of family you come from. But you learned a bunch of crap. And so now you don't believe the truth about yourself. And I'm here to show you that no matter what y'all do to me, but nobody talks about that because guilty parents are teachers.
That's right.
How are they doing?
So a guilty man is going to stop at the crucifixion, right? Because it's about the punishment and you feeling guilty. The loving man is going to go, let's go all the way to the end of it, which was, I didn't die. And you can't kill me. So how does that relevant to if you're not Christian? It's the same story. No matter what your religious background or non-religious background, the same story. You're going to outlive every single thing you think you're going through. Because of who you are part of, that love and that power and that spirit that you are part of cannot be destroyed. No matter what you're putting yourself through, no matter what you believe about yourself, you are going to be helped, you're going to be healed, and you're going to be happy. And if you want to argue with that, you're insane. yet, because it's not the punishment I need, because I feel like I'm guilty, so I need to suffer, so I am throwing away your gift, you Satan. He's Satan. Yeah.
I mean, I'm here because I am Christian, and I'm here because I see Christ in you, and I'm here because I studied it, and Christ didn't say any more than you're saying right now. I know that.
That's right.
This is a Christian class. I'm not trying to be funny, but...
No, I'm not saying that you are. And Christian isn't a bad word.
Right.
It's the Christians that's the problem with Christians.
Yeah.
The worst thing ever happened to Christianity was Christians.
Right.
Besides that, it would be a great religion. Really, it's the Christians. The Christians who are afraid and guilty. Who frighten. Nobody would want to frighten you. They're not going to say something to you to purposely scare you if they love you. They know that you're more likely to listen to something if you can hear the love. Only a guilty mind uses fear to try to convert in fear. You know, so we're making the choice, and I'm going to have to stop here in a minute. We're making the choice of love and fear. That's all we come to this class to do, to go, I'm not going to be in denial and pretend like I don't have some fear, some guilt, some upset, and some anger. But that is the result of my wrong learning. That is the result of the misperceptions I was taught. That's the result of losing sight of the truth, insanity, and innocence. Okay, I'm going to admit it. I got it. It's in me. I'm not going to always be nice. I'm not going to always be patient. Sometimes I want to manipulate. Sometimes I do what's right. Sometimes I have fear. I'm going to admit that I bought into the system, and I have all the things in my personality like anybody else that's bought into the system. But what makes me different is that I am setting the goal of God. I'm setting the goal of love. That now, that's the direction I'm headed in. And I want to invite those who want to go in that direction with me to, let's do it together. Those who are not sure that you want to make the journey, you can join us whenever you're ready. We'll tell you where we're located. Get a GPS. We'll let you know. You know, a God personal savior.
But you're still innocent.
You're still innocent if you want. You're still innocent if you don't think you are. You're still innocent if you want to stay in the suffering for a little while longer. You're still innocent if you want to judge. You're still innocent. You're still what you are. I don't care how much dirt you put on me. If you wash the dirt away, I'm still under it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What you really are cannot be affected by the world and what the world says about you. But whether you are aware of what you really are, that's up to you.
Yeah.
So when you lose sight of who you are, you can always tell. How can you tell? You're out of peace. You're in pain. You're suffering. It just means you forgot who you are. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're sinful. It just means you forgot. And if you've forgotten, you need somebody to remind you. And that's what a savior does. A savior is somebody who reminds you that you deserve more than you're giving yourself. If you're giving yourself less than love. That's what your Savior does. Your Savior doesn't remind you of every reason why you don't deserve to be happy. Your Savior reminds you of all the reasons why you're innocent. And when you can tell the difference between a Savior and someone who's there to condemn, then that's where your peace starts. Because you don't have to attack the person that's condemning. You just dismiss them. You dismiss what they're saying. You don't give what they're saying the slightest bit of belief, and you don't even have to tell them you're not. You know, because that'll make you have to engage in a conversation longer than you need. Don't you know when you open your mouth, now you're gonna have to interact for a long time? It's better to practice your truth silently, to apply it to yourself without needing to preach it from the highest mountaintop. I'm doing this because I'm just inviting mighty companions.
You're like Jesus.
And Jesus is like all of everybody else. You know, we all have love within us. That's all we mean by Jesus.
Right.
That love that created us. We all are the love that created us. So I would invite you to forgive Jesus. I would really invite you to forgive Jesus so you can move on. Because all you're really doing is you're just forgiving what you learned about Jesus. That's the only thing that's happening. Jesus hasn't done nothing to y'all. And Jesus hasn't done nothing to me, but I got some beliefs that I got to deal with that gave me some misperception. You know, it's like somebody, it's like somebody walked in and said, you know, Earl Curtis said he don't like you, you know, he hates you, and then you believe it, and then you see me coming, and you don't like me, and you don't like me because of what she told you, and you haven't even had a chance to talk to me. That's what's happening with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. You just bind into your perception based on what you were taught and how you interpreted it and what somebody else said. And so now the whole thing is crappy. It's like, no, what you learned was crappy. Your interpretation of what you learned was crappy. But there's a wealth of help waiting from you from the invisible side that once you forgive God. Have a nice day. I'm through. I'm through. And I'll say it over and over again. If something I say doesn't feel right for you, go with what your gut tells you. Okay? If it's a test between me and you, and what you believe versus what I said, then I invite you, please, go with you. Because for some reason, you need to look at it that way right now. And so you feel threatened at the thought of it not looking at it that way. So I invite you to look at it that way for as long as you need to, because it's the way that you give yourself the most peace. For some reason, focusing on your sinfulness maybe makes you feel more comfortable than focusing on your innocence. So for the time being, you need to go ahead and go with your belief system so that you won't attack yourself. But all I know is I want love. I want to experience love. I want to experience peace and safety and trust. And I got to stop waiting for everybody else to do it and step up and start doing it myself.
Right.
Guess I will need one. So, thank you for... I really experienced the healing talking with you all today. I don't know what happened with you all, but I say things today I never said in 30 years of teaching. And I survived. So as usual, I thought that one of my fears was a loser. So I thought the last thing I could talk about in a class that is based on a book supposedly channeled by Jesus is Jesus. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you probably feel like if you said certain things to some of the people you knew, all hell would break loose. So I'm a full-time teacher of the course, and I live from the gifts from my class financially. So those of you who really appreciate me enough to share money so I can have the same life you have, I want to take a special moment to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I want to take a special moment to tell you how much I appreciate those who don't. But I used to make a mistake of not letting people know how much I appreciated them, and I assume they just knew. And I'm trying to stop doing that. Anybody else know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just kind of like assume they don't. And so you don't let them know that you love them. You know, and I want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm allowing Spirit to work on me every day so I can become a more loving person to be here for you. And I'm so glad I forgave Jesus and got another perception of Jesus through the course. Because I invite all of you to get your symbol of God that allows you to relate to a higher power. No matter what that is for you. You might say Buddha, you might say whoever. But as soon as you stop believing you're at the top of the pole and open yourself up to something greater than your own ego, that's when things start getting easier for you. You've gone as far as you can go alone, and you've gone as far as you can go without tapping into something greater than yourself. There is a point on the spiritual path, and it looks like it's all about you educating yourself, and you giving yourself a workshop, and you giving yourself new books, and you giving yourself new tools, and you giving yourself new ideas, and you go into the workshops so you can learn how to manifest your destiny. That's all a very valid stage of awakening. But there's another stage of awakening where you can't go on alone, that you got to join and connect in order to go to the next level. And the course is that level. It's for people who want it easier now. I swear to God, I've never tried to lift something heavy, and it wasn't easier when I had somebody helping me. Not once in my life. So you're a blessing. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick bringing this in, and I want you to just relax and do whatever you want to do. And you're welcome. I do a class at 12 noon. On Wednesday. And I also do a class at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Did anybody go through any of the religious stuff that I went through? Coming up, they had a lot of any of you have the same, have any of this conflict that you had to work through around Christianity and the Christian terminology? And, are you also really beginning to see more and more that what you've been responding to is what you've learned?
Yes.
That's a big one. That what you're responding to is what you learned. That's why the Course says that we cause our suffering. Not that it can't look like somebody else could do something to hurt you, but ultimately, however you experience it is going to be based on how you're seeing it. And so the minute you see it differently, then the suffering goes away. Because it's the way you were looking at it that keeps the suffering going, especially if it's something that's gone. Like, you still feeling pain about something that's not happening, that's not here. That's one of the obvious ways you can see the power of the mind. Because it's not even happening now, but you're still giving yourself pain. So you're using the present moment to interpret that past event in such a way that you go through pain. But you could also use the present moment to interpret events that would release you from all pain and give you bliss and give you ecstasy and give you joy. That's as much a perception as the one you have right now. So it's really a matter of motivation, isn't it? It all boils down to it. Are you motivated enough to let go of the blocks to your happiness? Some people are, some people aren't. But we all will be. So take a breath with me. And let's get ready to go back out into the dream.
You are a child of God. thank you all. Both of them, I'll see you the next time I see you.